today: how The Guardian uncovered allegations of sexual misconduct against actor and director Noel Clarke.
Well, thank you. 13 years ago, when I won the Rising Star Award, I bounced off my chair and I popped my collar as a...
Last month, Noel Clarke was given the Outstanding British Contribution to Cinema Award by BAFTA. In his acceptance speech, the typically self-assured actor and director looked a little on edge. Viewers might have concluded that he was simply overwhelmed.
And as I stand here right now, I know a lot of the work I've done is not BAFTA worthy. But I think this is about the journey. It's about the times maybe it was worthy and not recognised. I stand on the shoulders of giants. I'm not here without the people before me. And hopefully people see that I've tried to elicit change in the industry.
But there were other reasons why Clarke may have felt preoccupied. 13 days before presenting Clarke with his award, BAFTA was informed about the existence of several allegations of verbal abuse, bullying and sexual harassment against him. Guardian journalists Shirin Carley and Lucy Osborne have now spoken to 20 women who claim Noel Clarke is a serial abuser. BAFTA's decision to press ahead with Clarke's award prompted them to break their silence. From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus: Noel Clarke and the allegations against him that have shaken the film and television industry. Just a warning before we start: this podcast contains descriptions some might find upsetting, and there's also some strong language. Shirin, we've just heard about how last month Noel Clarke received a prestigious award from BAFTA, the British Academy of Film and Television. Who is Noel Clarke? Can you tell us a bit about his career?
So Noel Clarke is one of the most prolific and influential British, I'd say, multi-hyphenates. So he's an actor, he's a screenwriter, he's a director, he's also a producer. Most people know Noel from his trilogy of films, Kidulthood, Adulthood and Brotherhood.
I said, never fuck with a guy who ain't got nothing to lose, but I was wrong. Because the only person more dangerous than someone with nothing to lose is someone who stands to lose everything.
Which were sort of landmark, genre-defining portrayals of inner-city life. After the success of Kidulthood, Noel went on to become a very influential figure in the British film and TV establishment. So he has his own production company, Unstoppable, which has worked with Sky.
You know all those times I told you not to drive fast?
Yeah.
Drive fast.
Noel is the executive producer and also the star, alongside Ashley Walters, of Bulletproof, which is one of Sky's biggest TV shows. It's a police procedural series.
Gonna do it our way.
We're going undercover.
And just last week, actually, Noel was on ITV every night in prime time, Monday through to Friday, as the lead in their drama Viewpoint.
So we would like to use your flat for surveillance purposes.
What?
He's also had a fairly prominent role as Mickey in Doctor Who.
Tell me, this must be Mickey.
Here comes trouble. How are you doing, Ricky boy?
It's Mickey.
Don't listen to him.
Which introduced him to a really young fan base. And he's acted in sort of big budget franchises such as Star Trek. He's directed his own films.
A gang of thieves has managed to pull off the biggest gem theft.
Tens of millions of pounds worth of diamonds.
4321, The Anomaly, Legacy. These were films that he was sort of in complete control over. And so I'd say that although Noel might not have, you know, the name recognition of somebody like Brad Pitt, say, he's actually, for people in the know in the British film and TV industry, one of the most influential people, both on screen and behind the scenes.
At what point did you become aware that there were allegations against Noel Clarke?
So we received a tip at The Guardian. These tips were brought to us by very credible industry figures. And so we immediately began investigating. And to be honest with you, when I was first asked to look into this, I thought, okay, perhaps we'll be able to find three or four women that have allegations against Noel. But within a few days, we had spoken to multiple women who were making quite serious allegations against Noel. And that's when we realised that there was potentially a really big story here for us to look into.
Lucy Osborne, you're a reporter for The Guardian, and we've spoken to you on the podcast before about allegations of sexual misconduct being made against powerful men like Donald Trump. One of the women that you spoke to for this story was Gina Powell, who was a producer on Noel Clarke's film Brotherhood. What did she tell you?
Yeah, so Gina took some time to decide if she wanted to speak to us. She had worked very closely with Clarke for nearly 4 years. And when she left, she felt so traumatised by her experience that she described it as being like trying to get out of an abusive relationship. So the idea of speaking publicly about this for the first time was obviously a very daunting prospect initially. But given Gina had both experienced sexual misconduct herself and witnessed Clarke behaving inappropriately with several other people, she felt the need to sort of share what she knew. And so, like many of the other women we've spoken to, it was seeing him getting the BAFTA for outstanding contribution to film that was a trigger and made her want to ensure that what happened to her didn't happen to other young women working with him in the future. Two of the allegations that Gina is making happened on a trip to LA in 2015. So Gina says that Noel exposed himself to her in a car that he was driving during a trip to LA. And she says that she recalls telling him that is not right. And later on, he scolded her for making him feel like an old man. On the same trip, she says he groped her when they were alone in a lift and he told her he had got what he was owed. So Gina also alleges that Clarke would brag about storing sexually explicit pictures and videos on his hard drive, including footage he told her he had secretly filmed during naked auditions.
We should say that Clarke has denied in the strongest possible terms that he ever sexually harassed or bullied Powell or treated her in the way she alleges. These allegations are very disturbing. You just mentioned naked auditions. What is Clarke accused of doing here?
So Gina says that Clarke once showed her a secretly recorded video of one of these auditions with Johanna James, an actor in Brotherhood, who was also a close friend of Gina's. Gina says the naked audition had taken place more than 4 years previously for the film Legacy. Gina told Johanna about the incident for the first time in the winter of 2017 after Gina had just stopped working for Noel when they met in a pub in London. Both women described this meeting as being very emotional. Johanna broke down in tears at the table and then was tearful recounting this with us. Gina also told three other people about Clarke's alleged secret filming, who confirmed this with us in our reporting.
I can't imagine what it must have felt like for both women to be in these situations. You've spoken to Johanna James too about all of this. What has she said? What did she tell you?
It was a massive shock for Johanna. She said she would never have imagined Clarke could have done that, could have secretly filmed her. She thought that Clarke was a friend of hers and just didn't believe that he could be capable of doing this. So Clarke had helped Johanna get into drama school when she was 22 and secured her a discount on her fees. She remembers Clarke had talked her into auditioning for the role because she'd initially been quite hesitant. She was only 23, she was fresh out of drama school and she didn't want her first role to be a naked one. But Clarke persuaded her, explaining that the naked audition wouldn't be filmed. And an email that she got from her agent confirmed that, which said in capital letters that this would not be filmed. She says that Clarke said it 100% wasn't going to be on camera. So as she understood it, it was going to be purely sort of check that she'd be able to do the scene and wasn't going to bottle it on the day. She describes the audition as being mortifying, and soon afterwards she pulled out of the running for the role because she just didn't want it. She didn't want one of her first acting jobs to be nude. She believes that she and other alleged victims were young and naive when Clarke gave them professional opportunities, and that's why this has taken so long to come out.
Clarke's lawyers have said Clarke does not have a hard drive containing naked photographs of women and denies covertly filming naked auditions, including one of Johanna James, or showing such footage to Gina Powell. They also cite a financial dispute for the reason Gina Powell is making what they describe as false allegations. Given how influential many would regard Noel Clarke to be, it's very brave of Gina Powell and Johanna James to come forward and speak on the record. Why do you think they did that?
Yeah, definitely. I think Gina and Johanna both worked very closely with Noel right at the beginning of their careers. Johanna says that she felt betrayed as she thought that Noel had been a close friend. Both women had got to know Clark's family. And so I think that there's that sort of history, you know, made it even harder for them to speak. Despite this, Johanna and Gina and several of the women that we've spoken to agreed to go on the record with their real names because they hoped that doing so would ensure they'd be believed and help prevent other women being in similar situations in the future.
Lucy, what was striking about your reporting was the number of women who came forward, many of whom made allegations against Noel Clark. Can you tell me about some of those?
So a number of the other allegations also relate to his inappropriate sharing of explicit photographs. The Norwegian film producer Sinna Saltbeat met Clark in July 2015. She's friends with Gina, who introduced her to Clark at Soho House in London, where Unstoppable, Noel's production company, held business meetings. Clark had VIP tickets to a UFC fight in Glasgow and invited them both. In the evening, Sinna says Clark smacked her buttocks and later that month sent her a photograph of his erect penis. Sinna had sent Noel a professional email from her work address thanking him for the weekend in Glasgow and saying she would love to work with him one day. He replied initially saying he would like to work with her too, but in a second email seconds later, he said, also sent you some Snapchats, have a look. And then when she opened it, she saw that he'd sent her a dick pic. Clark denies that he slapped Sinner's backside, and he said that he can't recall sending her any unsolicited pictures. Another woman to accuse Clark of inappropriate sharing of images is Jeva Sabaluskaita, a production assistant on Brotherhood. At a rap party in December 2015, Jeva was on the dance floor. She was showing her colleagues her abilities as a former gymnast doing the splits. And the next day, Jeva saw Clark in the production office, surrounded by a group of people, and she says that they were sort of sniggering and looking at her. Jeva says Clark was showing them a photo he had taken of her in a compromising position from the night before, where her underwear was visible. She says she remembers the image of her knickers on Clark's phone so clearly that she could draw it, and says that she just felt mortified.
And what? How did she react in that situation?
So Jeva lunged for Clark's phone. The phone dropped and the screen smashed. She says that he became angry and she was required to go and take the phone to a repair shop to get fixed, which Jeva describes as the final act of humiliation. Clark's lawyers stressed that the photograph was of Jeva publicly doing the splits in the middle of the dance floor and that it was not taken up her skirt, adding that many people present at the party would confirm this. Clark, they added, had later merely joked about showing the image to colleagues. They confirmed Clark asked Jeva to fix the screen, saying she was a production runner and such a task was part of her job.
What seems really unbelievable, Lucy, is so much of this alleged abuse was apparently going on in front of other people, wasn't it?
Yes, and in some cases our reporting is corroborated by others who were in the room as these events happened. And in Jeva's case, for example, three others told us they recalled Clark taunting her about having this photograph of her. Another example of this happening out in the open is in the summer of 2008, when the assistant film director Anna Avramenko was an intern on the film Doghouse, which Clark acted in. She says he approached her on set. She says he started trying to kiss me on the lips in front of everyone. She says she made it clear to him that she did not want him to, turning her cheek and telling him that she had a boyfriend. She says he probably tried it 3 to 5 times or more, which Clark strongly denies.
Sharon, Lucy has just talked about an accusation made by Anna Avramenko from 2008. And the allegations made by the women you both spoke to span well over a decade, from 2004 to 2019. You spoke to the actor and screenwriter Jing Lucy, who claims in 2018 she was sexually harassed and bullied by Clark, and that when she tried to tell his publicist about it, nothing was done. What does Jing say happened to her?
Jean and Noel were both working together on a film that was being shot in Budapest. And Noel invited Jean out for dinner one evening after filming. it was a relatively ordinary meal. And then Jane noticed that Noel seemed to be in a real hurry, she says, to summon over the waiter for the check. So Jane asked Noel, what's the hurry? And he then told her that he wanted them to go back to his place so that they could have sex. And in Jane's recollection of this story, she really just sort of burst out laughing in disbelief and total shock, because that was not how she had viewed that dinner whatsoever. And while she was laughing, Noel, she alleges, then said to her, I can't help it. This is the way that you make me feel. And it was really sort of, to use her language, laying it on quite thick and being very explicit about the sort of things he'd like to do with her sexually. Jane says that after she rejected Noel and said, you know, I don't want to have sex with you, his entire demeanour and body language changed. She alleges that Noel said, all right, fine, don't tell anyone about this, yeah? Because if you do, it will get back to me and I will find out. The following morning, she woke up and Noel sent her a text message with the emoji of a person with the finger over their lips, which she took as a clear indication that she should stay silent about the harassment. Jane did not stay silent about this. So she did tell her friends about this at the time. She texted one and said, dude, I've been Me Too'd a few days later. Jane says that she bumped into Clark's publicist, Emily Hargreaves, at an event in January 2019, and she told Emily about the harassment. And Jane alleges that Emily didn't do anything about it and continued to represent Noel. Lawyers assert that Hargreaves does not recollect Jane informing her of the allegations against Clark. Emily Hargreaves, in her response to this, says that the actual weekend that Clark was awarded the BAFTA, she was contacted by an actor client of hers who made allegations against Clark. And Hargreaves says that she took appropriate action at the time, which was that she suspended representing Clark on the 11th of April pending an investigation, and she formally terminated her relationship with Clark earlier this week.
Let's talk about BAFTA giving Noel Clark that award. On the 29th of March, the British Academy of Film and Television Arts announced that it would be giving Noel Clarke the prestigious Outstanding British Contribution to Cinema accolade. What happened next?
Well, what happened next is within hours, they were contacted jointly by three industry figures alerting them to the existence of several allegations of abuse, bullying and sexual harassment against Noel Clarke. And these industry figures are people that were really very credible. So they are the award-winning film director Sally Al-Husseini, Pulumi Akindude, who actually used to work with BAFTA for a number of years, and James Krishna Floyd, an actor. And in this email to BAFTA on the 29th of March, this trio said that they had had first-hand allegations against Clark. And separately, in addition to that, Pulumi also said that she'd been a victim herself of verbal bullying from Clark at an event in 2016. As well as this, information about the existence of other allegations followed. So there were two anonymous emails and information passed to a BAFTA board member through an intermediary. And this was about an incident in which a woman alleged that Clark had been threatening and abusive towards her after she rejected his advances.
But BAFTA did go ahead with the award 2 weeks later, on Saturday, the 10th of April. Why did they make that decision?
So BAFTA say that the information they'd received by that point didn't enable them to take action or warrant suspending the awards. And they would say that, you know, the intermediaries that came to them, so that trio of people, were unable to put them in direct contact with the women making allegations. BAFTA also says that they asked for these people to come forward with their accounts and identify themselves, but due to the anonymous claims and the lack of first-hand specificity, they just did not have sufficient grounds to take action. BAFTA also questioned whether the organisation, as a charity which didn't actually employ the people concerned, had a legal duty to investigate these matters. I should add that 2 days after the prize giving, BAFTA emailed James Krishna Floyd and Sally Al-Husseini, notifying them of an independent specialist advisor it had made available to alleged victims of Clark's misconduct. Now, BAFTA's lawyers said it made the service available at no expense to alleged victims, and they've rejected any suggestion that it was slow to put in place an appropriate system to safeguard and advise women. I think it's really no surprise that BAFTA finds itself under intense spotlight, and that certainly won't be a surprise to BAFTA either. They appeared to have been aware of the potential impact of this story. So on the 9th of April, which was actually the day before the award ceremony where the award was given to Noel, the chair of BAFTA, Krishnendu Majumdar, who was leading the charity's response to the allegations, spoke on the phone to an intermediary and really expressed concerns about the possible reputational fallout. Majumdar said, "People will say BAFTA knew and didn't do anything about it. We've been trying to do something about it." And then he added, "In the court of public opinion, this will destroy us."
The reason you were able to report this is because those three industry figures went on the record with you. Why did they feel it was so important to talk about this story?
Sally, Palumi and James all chose to speak publicly about their experiences as intermediaries for these women because they think that there were really serious questions to be answered, not only by BAFTA, but actually by the wider industry when it comes to how we investigate alleged misconduct on sets and the procedures and measures that are put in place to protect people from alleged bullying or harassment or sexual misconduct. You know, they came forward in order to shine light on the wider industry, and they did so after quite a lot of internal thought and really deep consideration. In Palumi's instance, she was actually allegedly verbally abused by Clark at an event in October 2016, so she witnessed firsthand his alleged misconduct, and she also heard firsthand of a serious misconduct allegation from a female peer in the industry as well. And when she saw the award announcement, she says that she felt like it felt wrong to her that somebody who had such a troubling reputation in the industry was being acknowledged and lauded in this way by BAFTA. And she did tussle internally quite a lot about taking forward these allegations against Clark because she is Black herself and Clark is also a Black man of working class origins. And she knows that it's really hard for Black people and people of colour to succeed in the film and TV industry. But she ultimately decided it was the right thing to do because she thinks that calling out behaviour that is wrong is always the right thing to do. Sally has said to me that, you know, she hopes that by publicising these allegations against Clark, the wider industry will sit up and take notice. You know, she's really hoping that this is a wake-up call for everybody in the industry. And she describes it as institutionalised inertia. So she says that we just need to stop this. We need to stop the institutionalised inertia towards women who speak up. Because actually, by staying silent, then you're enabling abuse.
Coming up, what happened when Sheeran and Lucy broke their story?
Last summer, sleep kept us sane through the silence. This summer, you're going to need sleep to get over all of this. That's why it's the perfect time to upgrade to a Nectar mattress and get award-winning, precision-engineered sleep at incredible value. Prices start at just $499, and you get $399 in accessories thrown in, a 365-night home trial, and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
Sheeran, this story broke last Thursday night. How did BAFTA respond?
BAFTA responded pretty swiftly. You know, the email was in my inbox within 30 minutes of The Guardian story going live. And they said, in light of the allegations of serious misconduct regarding Noel Clark in The Guardian, BAFTA's taking the decision to suspend his membership and the Outstanding British Contribution to Cinema Award immediately and until further notice. And then the following day, so the day after The Guardian story broke, BAFTA actually put out a longer statement, and in it they explain the process that they'd gone through internally when it came to deciding to go ahead with giving Noel that award on the 10th of April. They said that, you know, they were really very much regretful of the fact that the women felt unable to provide them with the first-hand testimony that they provided to The Guardian. And BAFTA said that had they heard that testimony firsthand from the women that spoke to The Guardian, they would never have presented that award to Noel Clark.
How has the wider film and television industry responded to this, Sheeran?
It's been pretty intense and pretty swift, actually.
He's the star of two hit TV shows. both now pulled from our screens.
Following accusations of sexual harassment by a string of women.
BAFTA suspends Noel Clarke's membership after claims of sexual misconduct. The West London actor and producer says he will defend himself against false accusations.
The final episode of ITV's detective drama Viewpoint, due to air tonight, cancelled.
I'm pretty surprised, actually, by the sort of ripples that have come out from this story. It's really been quite a big story, and it feels like almost everyone in the film and TV industry was talking about it at the end of last week. So I suppose the most immediate and pressing thing was that ITV cancelled their plans to show the final episode of Clarke's drama Viewpoint on Friday night. And that was a primetime drama that was airing every night last week. So the Guardian story broke on Thursday, and ITV pretty quickly announced that the final episode was not going to be shown on television on Friday evening as planned, although it would be available on catch-up. Sky, who, if you'll remember, works with Clarke on his police show Bulletproof, which is a really big show for Sky, they said that they stand against all forms of sexual harassment, and they had stopped work on the forthcoming fourth series of the show. So Vertigo Films, which is the UK production company behind Bulletproof, said that they hadn't received any complaints, but they encouraged people who had been affected by his behaviour to get in contact with them. And they said that effective immediately, Noel is removed from any Vertigo Films production. And I think it's worth pointing out that not everybody the Guardian contacted was critical about Noel. We spoke to several people who said that they enjoyed working with him and only had positive things to say about his professional conduct on sets.
And there was a huge reaction to this on Twitter, wasn't there?
Yeah, so Michaela Cole, the sort of incredible award-winning writer, actor, whose series I May Destroy You was actually influenced by her experience of sexual assault in the industry, offered her backing for the women who spoke out. So she tweeted that she offered great support to the 20 brave women who have come forward. And Ashley Waters, who stars alongside Clarke on Bulletproof, so they're the two main leads of the show, really, said that although Noel has been a friend of his for many years, he couldn't ignore the allegations, and he said that every woman has a right to a safe workplace, and that moving forward, he pledged his dedication to that.
As we've said throughout this interview, Noel Clarke denies every allegation that The Guardian put to him, except one where he made inappropriate comments and apologised for them. He initially issued a statement that said, "In a 20-year career, I have put inclusivity and diversity at the forefront of my work and never had a complaint made against me. If anyone who's worked with me has ever felt uncomfortable or disrespected, I sincerely apologise. I vehemently deny any sexual misconduct or wrongdoing and intend to defend myself against these allegations." After the story broke last week, he then released another statement on Friday saying, "Recent reports have made it clear to me that some of my actions have affected people in ways I did not intend or realise. To those individuals, I am deeply sorry. I will be seeking professional help to educate myself and change for the better." Lucy and Shirin, this is not the end of the story, and there is more to come. What do you both take from reporting on it so far?
We think it was incredibly brave of these women to speak to us at such length about their experiences. I've been really encouraged to see that our reporting has helped trigger a bigger debate about sexual harassment on sets and how women can be better protected from this kind of behaviour in the future. I really hope that it helps lead to a greater oversight and protections for young women in TV and film.
You know, I think we never really had the sort of moments of great reckoning in the UK that happened in the US with the Me Too movement a few years ago. And what's really become apparent from this reporting is that this behaviour goes much further than just one individual. It's really not just about Noel. It seems that there's been pretty widespread bullying, sexual misconduct and harassment on film and TV sets in the UK for quite a long time now. So I think moving forward, the industry needs to reconsider its safeguarding measures and in order to ensure that everybody working in the film and TV industry, not just women, is able to do so in a safe and professional environment.
Shirin, Lucy, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Shirin Carley and Lucy Osborne. They're reporting on this has been brilliant, and you can read all of it at theguardian.com. There is also more to come on this story, and we'll be following it over the next few weeks on Today in Focus. Just before we go, I wanted to let you know that on Monday, I'm hosting a Guardian event with the author Michael Lewis, who, amongst many other titles, wrote The Big Short and The Blind Side. He's going to be talking to me about his new book, which investigates why the US was so badly prepared for the pandemic. It starts at 7 p.m. and you can buy tickets at theguardian.com/Guardian Live, where you can also find some amazing events that are happening to mark The Guardian's 200th birthday. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Alex Atack and sound design was by Sami El Anani. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. I hope you have a great weekend and we will be back on Monday.
Hi, this is Benjamin from the UK true crime podcast They Walk Among Us. Brought to you by AMC Networks, Shudder is a premium streaming experience that provides a multi-sensory dive into fantastical worlds, offering the very best of old and new horror. Discover films and series that covers the entire horror spectrum, including highly anticipated new releases like The Boy Behind the Door and Psycho Gorman, to giants of the horror genre like The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween. What's more, you can watch one of my all-time favorite films, Mandy, a spiraling, surreal, bloody journey of revenge with visuals that are simply mind-blowing. Exceptional originals, movies, TV series and live events, there's always something new and unexpected for Shudder members to experience. Sign up at shudder.com.